Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. My name's Elizabeth, and I don't even know where to begin with highlighting the year that was 2024 for Aaron. It's been one of those years where so much has happened that some of it feels like it just happened. And others, I have to check myself and remember that, oh my God, that was this year too. At his recent concert at Grattan Hill Music Center, Aaron talked about the gratitude that he felt for all of the varied work that he has gotten to be a part of this year. And he and Erica, they've wrapped up 24 in a perfect little pink bow by welcoming their baby girl. And 2024 started off with a bang, with Aaron making a return to 54 Below to perform on New Year's Eve, and those of us in the audience that night, we got to experience his first ever performance of I'm Just Ken, tie-dye, I Am Kenuff sweatshirt and all. And now that song has continued to remain on his concert set list throughout the year and has opened many concerts. That entire concert set list was incredible, but his encore was a true gift to kick off 2024 with him finally bringing back a Taylor Swift song and performing Antihero, and his energy, it was electric, and it was just such a special way to kick off a new year. And then, I mean, soon we were knee-deep in Sweeney Tveit rehearsal content. And then it was February 9th, and it was finally time for Aaron to make his Sweeney Tveit debut. And I can clearly remember I was getting my stuff together before getting ready to get in the car and head to the city for Sweeney. And Sweeney Todd's Instagram dropped a behind-the-scenes video of Aaron and Sutton for a photo shoot, and it stopped me in my tracks. It was surreal seeing him in costume with the makeup on and then knowing that in just a few hours, he would be leaping onto the stage, and that just added to the anticipation. Prior to February 9th, I had not seen a full production of Sweeney Todd. I had seen the clips, or certain clips, of Josh and Annalie, but Aaron's debut was also my first time seeing the show, and his debut, it's still one that I can remember so clearly. I watched him and his interaction so intently, so much so that multiple viewings of this show was necessary, because that first night I was just watching Aaron, and every other time, I swear I picked up something new each time. That show was brilliant. But one of my favorite moments of the night was during Pirelli's Elixir, when Sweeney is trying to figure out what the elixir is made of, and he says the line that it's piss and ink, and then he climbs up onto the crate and he says, "Keep it off your boots, sir," eats right through. And the arm gesture that he gave when he delivered that line was perfection. And then there was Epiphany. It remained a moment and a song that I anticipated each time I got to see the show. But every time, Aaron's delivery of finished as he would grab the razor and descend down the stairs into madness was everything. And then A Little Priest. As someone who hadn't seen the show, I was not prepared at all for what this number would be. And Sutton was incredible. her line delivery, her mannerisms, her ability to push Aaron to an almost breaking point at different moments in the song made audiences go crazy. And while Aaron never fully broke, his silent laughter and full body shaking was amazing to witness. He's such a professional, so seeing him push to that point during that song and then again during By the Sea with the feet, like, how did he keep it together show after show? And I loved one of those interviews that came out for Aaron and Sutton, and the interviewer asked Sutton where the feet idea came from. And she said that she always strives to be as ridiculous as possible, and she simply asked Aaron how he felt about feet in his face, and he said that she can do whatever she wanted to do to him. One of my friends was at a show where he did fully break during By the Sea and had to bury his face in a pillow on the couch until he could pull it back together. And while what Aaron did on stage 7 times a week was astonishing, what's also amazing is that throughout his 12-week run, Aaron did not miss a single show. The role of Sweeney is so demanding and intense, and he was there for every one of them. And along with Aaron's debut being my first time seeing Sweeney Todd, Aaron's final show was also my first time seeing a show's closing show. And there was something so special and emotional about seeing the entire company and the orchestra on stage as Tommy Cale delivered a beautiful speech. And for those 12 weeks, Aaron got to live out one of his dreams, and he did so phenomenally. The other day on Instagram, I asked what one word would be to describe Aaron's year, and someone said nonstop. And that could not be more accurate. Less than 1 week after his Sweeney run ended, Aaron flew across the country to perform at Soraya Stage with the Pacific Jazz Orchestra. And prior to this concert, Soraya released an interview of Aaron saying that the hardest song that he ever performed was Roxanne, and that the audience may get to hear it on May 11th. So the anticipation for that was so high, and not only did Aaron perform Roxanne with a full orchestra, but he performed it twice and opted up twice. It was insane to watch in the videos, and I can only imagine what it was like to be in the audience that night. He also performed Joanna from Sweeney Todd and What Was I Made For, and he brought back Maria. And here's to hoping that there are more concerts with a full orchestra in Aaron's future, but preferably on the East Coast, so it's a little easier for me to get there next time. And then after a brief, like, 3-week break, Aaron kicked off his 3-week residency at the iconic Cafe Carlyle, and I had the incredible opportunity of seeing his first show of his residency and his last. And this entire residency, it's up there in my top 3 concerts or settings. It was such a small, intimate venue, and it was so clear that Aaron carefully crafted his set list to include songs and stories that reflected his journey over the last 20 years in New York and in his career. In Aaron's first show, however, it was a unique experience because of getting to be in the audience for the first time when he debuted the set list and his stories. And he was visibly emotional when he talked about Next to Normal, and he had to restart singing There's a World twice before he was really ready to go and perform it. And after that segment, he shared that Next to Normal, it's in a special place tucked up under his ribs, and he rarely sings the songs from that show because, as we saw, it's impossible for him to get through them. And this set list was also the first time that I was able to experience Aaron performing a song from Les Mis live. I love that he shared his audition story of how he just knew that he had to be a part of this production. And so he took all the steps that he could to make it happen, even though no one asked him to do so. And, I mean, there's no one else that I can imagine being Enjolras in the Les Mis movie, but hearing him sing Empty Chairs at Empty Tables made it clear that, of course, he would have been a phenomenal Marius as well. I mean, like, here's to hoping that he can bring it full circle and even be Valjean one day. But throughout his residency, Aaron was accompanied by Brian and his band that he has been working with since his Next to Normal days, and he was joined by a cellist from Sweeney Todd. And every one of them on stage, they took turns helping, hyping each other up and leaning on each other. And during night one, like when Aaron was feeling emotional during Next to Normal or during The Winner Takes It All, you could see Aaron either turning to Brian or Brian looking out from behind the piano to check in on Aaron. Like, their bond and how they feed off of each other and support each other is so special to witness whenever they're performing together. And during this 3-week residency, it was also announced that Aaron would be returning to Moulin Rouge for Christian 6.0. And at this point, the rumors, they'd been circulating. So to finally have it confirmed and having Aaron be able to talk about it with an audience that night after the announcement was so special. And now remember, at this point, we're only in June. We're not even 6 months into the year, and look at all that Aaron has already been a part of. And aside from being so ecstatic for the chance to see Aaron reprise his role as Christian the Composer, he would also be reuniting on stage with Ricky Rojas, and I know that so many have been wanting that to happen since that one-night reunion on July 1st of 2023. But before reuniting on stage at the Hirschfeld, Aaron and Ricky reunited at Ricky Live Live, singing two of their staples, Tennessee Whiskey and She Used to Be Mine. But again, leading up to Ricky Live Live, it was not known whether or not Aaron would be coming. So seeing him come down the steps at Chelsea Table and Stage, it just added to the excitement of the evening. It had been over 2 years since we last heard Aaron and Ricky sing those songs together, and they didn't disappoint. I mean, Ricky, he always turns into like an excited kid whenever he's around Aaron, and Aaron in turn lets his silly guy's side shine through. When they're together, their energy is unlike anything at all. But then having the chance to interact with Aaron and Ricky and other members of the Moulin Rouge cast that were there after the show was such a good time. Chelsea Table and Stage has become a place that holds so many special memories with friends and that cast. 1 week later, it was time for Aaron to walk across the stage again as Christian the Composer. And the energy in the theater for this first night back, oh my god. I remember debating if I should go to Aaron's first show back or the 5th anniversary show because they were both happening the same week, and I wholeheartedly believe that I made the right choice in being there in the theater for that first night back. The atmosphere and the energy is truly indescribable. And to be there to witness Aaron's first Roxanne and see him interact with Ricky and JoJo and, oh my god, I have said this before, but I'll say it again. Seeing JoJo descend on that swing for the first time is a moment I will never, ever forget. And that same week, Moulin Rouge, like I said, they celebrated their 5th anniversary on Broadway. And they celebrated with a delayed show start and a few technical difficulties. And Aaron addressed the mishaps during his anniversary speech, but he put a positive spin on it by saying that audiences got to see something that had never happened before. And he also talked about how it's such a huge deal that the show has continued to thrive on Broadway for 5 years.
And tonight, we have had 1,421 of these. So that's very exciting. This is our 1,421. This, a lot of shows don't make it a year. Certainly a lot of shows don't make 5 years. This is a tremendous feat and accomplishment to anyone that's ever been a part of this show. And the show means a tremendous amount to me, as you can imagine, because I keep finding myself back on stage. But I'm so grateful to be here tonight with this incredible company. We have 8 original cast members that are still in the show. Myself, Ricky, who was supposed to be here next to me doing the speech, but he had to leave because he hurt his foot. That's okay, he'll be fine. Jay Magis, who's out on a medical leave right now. And we also have some people on stage. We have Caitlin Mann. There are people original tour cast members. There are people that have joined the company over the past 5 years, and everyone has brought the heart and spirit to what we always set out for this show to be. There are also 25 people backstage that have been here since the original show opened and before. These are band members, these are stage managers, these are crew members backstage. There's so many people that make a show like this happen. And also, you make the show happen. So we wanted to say thank you to you, to Ben, to the show. Many of you have seen the show many times, and it really means the world to us when we come back to see it. But really, it's the lifeblood of the theater is the audience. So thank you so much for being with us tonight, and thanks for rolling with everything. You saw something that's never been seen on the stage before. That's very exciting. Thank you so much, and have a great night.
As with every run before this, the Hirschfeld was a place where so many friendship reunions happened, so many new memories were made over those last 12 weeks, and I got to have my first experience this time of sitting in the can-can section during Ricky's final weekend, and it was so special to be so immersed in the show in that way. And leading up to Aaron's final weekend, we were talking about like when and if Aaron may do his Chandelier Roxanne mashup. His final snob, it happened, and there was no mashup like in runs prior, so the wait was on until Sunday. And Sunday, October 13th, it was a two-show day, and Aaron actually got to perform the matinee show with Haley, and then he and JoJo were back together for the evening show. And just like with Aaron's debut, the energy in the theater was insane. From the moment he stepped onto stage to raise the sign until the moment he walked off at the end. And, I mean, in Act 2, the final Roxanne, it started. Aaron began his walk across the passerelle. He turned, and there it was, the mashup. Have not fully recovered from hearing that live. Like, as the Duke's apartment set came down around Aaron, audience members were cheering so much, some were standing up applauding. Like, it was the best kind of energy to experience, and I feel so, so grateful to have had the opportunity to be there for Aaron and JoJo's final show. And I mean, we know at the Rouge it is never goodbye, it's just until next time. But hopefully they get the chance to share the stage together again, because Aaron and JoJo, their chemistry and their voices together was just such an amazing thing to be able to witness. And after Aaron left Moulin Rouge, there was like a week or two of an Aaron drought. And then, boom, as he does, one random Monday in October, October 28th, I went back and looked it up, Aaron posts the long-awaited Graceland short, Nextland, and the internet collectively lost its mind. Graceland fans have been waiting for this short since season 3 abruptly ended, and we knew it was written. And here it was, here, and it was perfection, and it left us wanting so much more, and who knows if we will ever get it, but, I mean, we can hope. And then, in the afternoon, MGM Plus dropped the trailer for Earth Abides, and we got a first look at Aaron as Charlie. And then, a few hours after that, it was announced that Aaron would be performing during the seventh inning stretch of the Yankees game. It was an Aaron content overload kind of day, and it was so much fun. And of course, they didn't air his God Bless America performance for the seventh inning stretch, but thankfully, fans filmed it and shared it. And of course, Aaron rounded out his epic year by becoming a dad to a baby girl, performing at Grattan Hill and bringing his Fiero back to life, and he demonstrated how dark of a character he can play as Charlie in his episodes of Earth Abides. When Aaron walked off stage at the end of his 54 Below concert last New Year's Eve, I don't think anyone could have anticipated how many stages Aaron would proceed to walk onto throughout the year. Like, as I said in the beginning of the episode, he shared at Grattan that this year has been filled with so much varied, challenging work, and it's been such a gift to be able to experience Aaron in those various roles. And I mean, while financially we joke that Aaron was killing us, it was so special to have so many opportunities throughout the year to reunite with friends and connect with so many others at the theaters and the venues. The memories created throughout this year will last a lifetime, and now we get to just sit back and see what our Tony-winning national treasure has in store for us all in 2025. Thank you so much for listening today and throughout this whole last year of 2024. Like, your support means everything. And if you're looking for more Aaron content and you're not doing so already, please follow along on Instagram at @tivating_patiently and on TikTok at @tivatingpatiently. And hope to have you back here for episode 110. I will love you until